Dr. Chad DeKalb joins us from Pennsylvania State. You are working on a rather interesting study looking at what might be missing for genetic traits in Holstein cattle. What prompted the study?
Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. And I guess what prompted the study is that I have a colleague here with me at Penn State, Dr. Wancheng Liu, and he is an expert on the bovine Y chromosome. And for really many years, we've been talking about, well, how many Y chromosomes are there in the Holstein breed because of artificial insemination? There's been a little bit of a population bottleneck. And then we finally kind of got around to actually searching back through the pedigrees of the AI bulls and figuring out how many there were. And we were able to trace everything down to basically two bulls born in the 1960s, a bull named Chief and a bull named Elevation. And so then we kind of realized that, there's not, and Y chromosomes are only transmitted through the male lineage, so there are really only two functional Y chromosomes in the Holstein population. So that was kind of the start of this study.
So it sounds like the research led you back to where some of the genetics work got started and how everyone basically put their entire herds in the same family, essentially.
Yep, that's basically what has happened. And it wasn't necessarily that everybody was using just Chief and Elevation. It's just that their sons were popular, and then their grandsons were popular, and their great-grandsons were popular, and eventually everything else kind of got weeded out from the male lineage. And there is one additional bull that has a few sons left, and that's a bull named Penn State Ivanhoe Star that was bred here at Penn State. But he's actually related to Chief if you go back far enough. So really, there were, in our current population, there's two Y lineages.
And this over how many cows?
Basically, all the Holstein cows in the United States, if you trace their male lineage, would trace back to those two bulls.
Now, if you get into a lineage that is so narrow, you start to eliminate certain traits, and that's what you're looking for, right?
Yes. So you don't necessarily eliminate traits so much as you eliminate genetic variation for lots of different traits. And, there are lots of bulls that have influence through the female lineage. So really the real bottleneck is just on that Y chromosome that's only transmitted through the male lineage. There has been somewhat of a bottleneck on the rest of the genome as well, but really that Y chromosome has very little variation. And the Y chromosome is important for masculinity traits and also for male fertility. So we really don't have very many opportunities to improve male fertility through genetic selection within a breed when we've basically eliminated all the variation on the Y chromosome.
Is it possible to go back in time, maybe find ways to get some of these traits, some of this lineage back?
Yes, and that's exactly what we set out to do. So the USDA has a program called the National Animal Germplasm Program. And what this is, it's a really large repository for genetic material. A lot of it is sperm. And so what we've done is we've gone and we've looked at that repository, and they've collected a lot of semen from bulls born back in the 1950s and 60s up through pretty much today. And we did find two bulls that were alive in the 1960s that are not related to Chief or Elevation. And we were able to find semen from those bulls and are in the process of creating calves from those bulls to kind of reconstitute some of these Y lineages.
Are you able to see with some of these new calves any of the differences between what you had versus what you're getting with these new calves?
It's we're not really far enough along yet to really see real differences necessarily. But the calves, some of the calves are on the ground now, and then we'll have another batch of calves born in November. And we're in the process now of really starting to genotype and begin our Y chromosome research. And once we do that, we'll look to see how much genetic diversity there is in the Y chromosome and how much there is potentially when we consider these other lineages. So we're not quite far enough along yet to be able to really answer that question.
Why is it important to restore this diversity? I understand some of it may have to do with the animal health.
Yeah, so part of it's if you don't have a lot of genetic diversity, of course, that leads to inbreeding, and we all know that there are inbreeding increases the likelihood of genetic defects and so forth. But with our genomic technology, to some extent, we can kind of weed out the really bad effects of inbreeding. Some of the more subtle effects that are maybe slightly bad, we can't necessarily detect those. But the, you know, the stillborn calves and embryonic lethals, we've been able to reduce those a little bit because of our genomic testing that we can do, and we can find genes that shouldn't be homozygous, for instance. But the other thing is that if you don't have diversity, you really limit your long-term prospects to make genetic change. So we want to add diversity to increase those long-term prospects to some extent.
So what is next for this study?
So the next part of the study in the near term, it's really going to be a study of the Y chromosome, because we've got, basically we had two Y chromosomes, now we'll have four Y chromosomes, and we know that the Y chromosome changes a little bit from one generation to the next because of mutations and so forth, but not a lot. So this will tell us a little bit more about the natural variation in Y chromosomes among different bulls, and help us to develop strategies to understand how we might be able to improve male fertility a little bit. So that's the kind of the near-term outcome, will be studying more of the Y chromosome genomics. And in the long term, if we're successful, we'd be able to introduce a little bit more genetic diversity back into the Holstein population in general. Because these particular bulls represent kind of 1960s genetics, we know that they're genetically superior for daughter fertility, for instance. And one of the traits I'm interested in is I've been told by some that they think that calf health has changed over years, and that maybe our calves aren't as healthy as they used to be. So those are some traits where we might be able to recapture a little bit of genetic diversity and add that back into our current population. But that's really a long-term prospect, and whether that's successful or not, we'll know in a couple decades.
All the work being done at Pennsylvania State?
We have a lot of partners that have helped in this project. So, for example, Select Sires they own some elite females, and they donated eggs from those elite females to be inseminated to create the calves that were born here at Penn State. So the calves were born here at Penn State. A lot of the Y chromosome research will go on here at Penn State. But the semen came from the National Animal Germplasm Program. Select Sires has been involved. Transova has helped us to create the embryos. And even the semen itself was donated by ABS Global many years ago in the University of Minnesota. So it's really been a lot of, that's one of the exciting things, is that there's been a lot of groups that have participated in this, not necessarily knowing what the outcomes of some of these things would be, but we've been able to bring in resources from a lot of different places to do this project.
How many calves have you got so far?
Six calves so far, three males and three females, and another 10 due in November.
And I would imagine those male calves are the prize of the study, because they're the ones you're going to take a close look at, huh?
Yes, exactly. In fact, we thought about just sexing them and only putting in male embryos, but decided in the end that it wouldn't hurt to have a few sisters around as well.
Is there anything you'd like to add today?
Nope, it's just I really appreciate the opportunity to visit with you, and appreciate our partners that have worked with us on this project, and we're looking forward to seeing where it goes.